That's just, Lord, it don't matter about insurance, but as long as you got assurance, and I believe Tommy had assurance. I saw him a day or two before he had his heart surgery, and we had a rejoicing time. Gayla, you won't have to worry about Tommy Hogg. I believe he's home with the Lord. And that's a good woman. God bless you. But we had some good times. Bill Evans would never join over here. He wanted a good preacher, and so I could never get him to join. But we're glad to have him tonight. Jesse, good to have Jesse Hogg. If this thing's too loud, you better cut me down. I'm sort of loud sometimes. But we're so glad to see you tonight, and I welcome Miss Bess today on the back. She got on the back row today, and Ricky and Jeanette and Paula, and I don't know if Stan's here or not, but I don't see him. But anyway, we're glad to have all of you tonight, and we welcome you, and I'm glad to have my wife. You know, a few minutes ago when Brother Jim mentioned, is this thing need to be moved a little, you reckon? But he mentioned something about the wife, and so when I heard him say that, I thought to myself, yeah, Brother Jim, the wives will stick with you as long as you got plenty of money, so hang in there. But we're so delighted to see all of you. It's a joy to be back, and we went over, and we're trying to help get the little church over there at Pleasant Plain back going again. They were sort of feeble and weak as far as the attendance was concerned. We've got about probably anywhere 50 thereabout, not every Sunday, but we've got about 50 that's pretty dedicated to come off and on. We'll have 35. I believe we had 43 or 44 this morning maybe. But anyway, we're having some new faces coming along, and so you pray that the Lord, if they don't keep that church open, I don't know why, because they've got the word. This is old King James, and I hadn't changed. I've been kicked out by everything in the Free Will Baptist. But I don't believe there's nothing no better than this one. I've had a cerebral hemorrhage, and it took care of that. And I've had cancer, and it took care of that. I had an intestinal problem in 1974, and the doctor said, at Duke, you could die from this. I said, I'm already dead. That's what I told them. They said, well, you need medicine the rest of your life. I had never been back. I never took their medicine. And I'm still, then I was 130 pounds. Now I'm still what I normally would be, about 200. Don't tell you any more than that, about 200. But it's a joy to be here. And I want to tell all of you these very simple facts. If you want a life that's worth living, it has to be in Christ. Young people, young ladies, young people, all of you, children, if you ever get anywhere in life, you will need Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Billy, he's not very, I guess you could say a lot of things about him, but I'll tell you, he's the strength of your soul. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He's a very present help in time of all troubles. I don't know how Gayla's made it all these years, and J.C. Lynch and Dartha Lane, all of them. It's only the Lord that's kept you there. And then Johnny and Donnie and all these boys that's had sickness, especially Brother Donnie. I wanted to go to everywhere it was, Texas or Summers or down in the lower part. Come on in, honey. We'll wait just another minute. We want real people to get here tonight. They're coming in, aren't they? But anyway, all of these situations, Margaret Lee Johnson, is she still living or did she pass away here back? Did she? Not too long ago, didn't she? But tell Aubrey, Bun, we think about him. But all of you, your faces are sort of new to me, some of you, but many of you, I know you personally, and I thank the Lord for you. But if you're new for the first time of seeing us, you've just seen the simple man is all. I got to tell this right quick, and we'll get to preaching in a few minutes. It's only, I told the girls to sing two. They said, we're going to sing three. I said, well, that's all right. Sing all you want to. I'm going to preach as long as I want to. But Miss Alice right here, Bunk's wife, her daddy was dying the night I came to accept the church some years ago and talked to Bunk and the deacons about it. And I said, Bunk, who is this man that you're talking about? Said, well, it's it's Alice's daddy, Jennings Williams. I said, oh, it is. Well, I knew the name like that was pretty hard to handle. But anyway, I said, well, where does he live? When we finished talking, I said, let's go by and see him. I need to go pray for that man. He was, what, 80 or so then, or 90? I don't know how old. 79 then. I said, well, let's go see him and go pray for him. So we go in the house over there at Mr. Williams and all, and see Mama and the family, and Alice and Sister was there. And I went on in and saw Brother Jennings. The doctor was leaving when I went in. He left and said, well, he probably won't live through the night. I didn't think it's the way they left him. So he went on out, and I went on in. I saw Mr. Jennings. We had prayer together. We got acquainted. I said, Brother Jennings, you can't die now. I hadn't learned you yet. I need your help over there if I'm going to Powhatan Church. I can't even say the name. I just need you to come and be with me. He said, preacher, I'm just about gone. So we had prayer, and the Lord blessed him so good. I went on in, left him in about 10 minutes, and went on in to see the girls in the other room. Directly he comes staggering through the door, you know, like this, and throwed his hands up on the door, sides of the door there. And he said, you just can't leave a preacher and trust him, can you, or something like that. He said, I want you to know, said, here you are talking with these women already. I said, you're supposed to be dying. Get on back in there and go to sleep. And it won't but a day or two, a few days, a week or two, whatever. He was sitting right over there. And I guess he lived, I don't know, 10 years, probably 8 or 10, 6 or 8. But he lived several years after that, and I preached to him several times, and he was a precious man. And so we've just had a good time, and God bless you tonight for coming. I'm not going to worry you too much. I'm going to preach a little bit to you if the Lord will spare me by the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't work in your heart tonight, we've got trouble. Because he's the only thing you've got to represent you in heaven. Jesus said, I'm at the right hand of the Father, and I'll send my comforter to take care of you while you're here in this old world. And one day you won't have to worry about faith and the Spirit, because it'll all be in glory. The Lord, you'll see him face to face. But we're glad to see you tonight in the book of the Epistle of John, if you would look for just a few moments. Thank you, ladies, again for coming. The first chapter of 1 John, the first chapter, there's a couple of verses I'm going to read, or maybe three of them, but there's one verse I want to use tonight, if the Lord's will, and that is this. It's about the light and the walk of your life. Let somebody know that we want to see them this week. I think of Graham Faircloth. I don't think they're here tonight. He was mighty sick, and I happened to run into him sometime back in the hospital and so forth, and so on. But anyway, there's a lot of people that I'd like to see, but I don't know if we will or not. But I'll tell you, the Lord knows all about them. There's some young folks that I'd love to see. Tootle Benson's boys, I'd love to see them. Jeff and Mike, I believe it is, and others. But we're so glad to see Linda and her husband tonight. Mr. Black, I believe I've got that right. We're glad to have them. But anyway, we're glad to have all of you tonight, and good to see you. If there's something going to happen in your life, you have to do just like Joyce and I have done for 44 years and 45 almost. You have to walk together. You have to walk together. You have to walk with the Lord Jesus. You have to walk with the very presence of God. You have to walk where no one else can walk the walk that you've got to walk. Your walk will be different than anyone else. You will never find yourself walking just like Brother Jim Bogle and Martha, I believe that's right. But you'll never walk like Joyce and Billy. You'll never walk like Bunk and Alice. You have a walk that you've got to walk, and you've got to do the will of God in it. That's the way we have to go. Listen to the words for just a few moments. This is the message, 1 John, if you will please. The fifth verse, I'm going to read that and then get on down to the seventh verse. But this is the message which we have heard. And I know we've heard it as Christians. We're talking to the children of God. And declaring to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now you think about that for a moment. You don't have much room to maneuver for the sin side, do you? For the flesh side. If you're going to live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's what the book says. That's what God expects out of us. Did you know that? And He's expecting that, so we've got to understand that. So if we're going to live in the Spirit, we're going to have to walk in. If so, we that have been have had fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But then this is the verse I want to sort of lead to the nine and go on with. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we walk in the light, listen carefully now to me tonight. I'm not here just to tell you something that's for 30 minutes or 20 minutes or 15. I'm here to tell you something that will keep your very being in the presence of God till the Lord calls you home one day. What I give to you tonight will bless your heart if you'll listen and take it home with you. Take it into your spirit. I can't give it to you, but the Spirit can bring revelation to you that you need. I don't know what you need tonight, but I do know this. The Spirit of God knows what you need, and He knows exactly where to deal with you at. And so listen carefully. But if we walk in the light as He was or is in the light, think about that. If the Lord Jesus Christ walked a walk, you have to walk the same walk. Did you know that? We have no other choice in life as Christians but to be Christ-like. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the privilege, and the power to become the sons of God. We are the sons of God today. We're the children of God tonight, Brother Jim. We don't have a choice in this matter. I'm telling you tonight, the spiritual man must have control. We need to crucify the flesh, the Bible says, daily. We need to get rid of that old selfish desire of ourselves and learn how to walk by the presence of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh. I can't do anything to get there except through and by Christ. So I must walk in the light that Christ was. If Christ walked in the light, I've got to walk in the light. I can't walk in the edge of sin. I can't play around in sin, dibble-dabble in sin. I can tell you, if you'd known my past and known the future that I had lived like many preachers, you would have never called me to... Well, you probably wouldn't. This church, some churches would be happy to let anybody come in the pulpits. They're letting it happen today. But I'm telling you today, the Bible says to separate yourself from this ungodliness. I don't care if a preacher's preached for 40 years, if these might go out there and dibble in sin, he's no good to the minister of Christ. You know, people just think, though, that it's all right to dabble in sin and to do all these things. It's good that you still have one wife, the Bible says. It's still to be a deacon and be the husband of one wife. The Bible says that. I didn't say it, but I can tell you today, I have stood on the Word of God, and I still believe it. I believe today what's wrong with the Free Will Baptists is they have took this book and they told me to my face in one of the conferences, that Bible don't make it anymore. They told me personally and face to face, the Bible they gave me and said, preach this word 40 years ago is no good anymore. I said, Dr. Raper, if this Bible had been, and you believed then like you do now, and you were told to preach this Bible, you'd have never been a Free Will Baptist preacher if you believed then like you do now. There's something about going on today. People think that it's all right to just simply dabble around in unbelief. Unbelief is when you don't take the Word of God serious. Unbelief is when you just think it is all right just to do any way in life. Listen to me tonight. Jesus Christ is looking men that have a little bit of Him in them. And you know He won't abide in an unclean temple. You ever thought about that? He's not going to be there if it's unclean. If there's sin there, He's not going to judge there and be there in that situation. He's already judged it. I'll not abide in an unclean temple. But listen to what He said. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I have to deal one time and always one time with the personality of Jesus Christ. Listen to me tonight. If you're a Christian, you have to deal with the personality of the Lord Jesus. You have to deal with the idea that Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way. He's the life. He's everything today. If you're going to be a blessed person, and you're going to be able to bless the Lord, you have to walk like Christ. That's what a Christian is. If he's not a Christian walking like he ought to, you have to walk. If you're going to be led by the Spirit, also walk in the Spirit. That's the Word of God. The beauty of God is this. It doesn't cut corners. It doesn't let you know tonight that if you don't walk good and upright, some of us says, well, if I get a little bit better and a little bit better, what are you going to do when He comes back and you ain't got better yet? You're going to be condemned. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I would liken unto him to be a wise man. Wise men still, we've heard the saying, they still seek after God. Wise men love the Lord. Who makes men wise? The man that's crucified to flesh, that Jesus Christ has set the anchor in his soul, and he'll walk with Christ, and he'll go with Christ unto the end, the bitter end, and he'll not by any means give way to the flesh. Jesus Christ doesn't need anybody that's going to be weak. The Bible says to be ye strong and in the power of his might. Let the strength of God, let us live the Christ-like life. Let us live for Christ. I believe there's something about the Scriptures in Galatians maybe that tells us this. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and all of these other things. There's no law against the things in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Did you know tonight the greatest life that you'll ever live is the one that the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God has brought revelation to you? And you know what's so good about the being able to be led by the Spirit is this. You don't have a given account for what you do because the Spirit won't lead you wrong. Isn't it nice to know you can lay down at night? You love the enemy. You love those that despitefully use you. You still got to pray for them. You got to lift them up. But you know there's one thing about it. And I'm telling you tonight, there's something about your life. If you don't live a Christian life in Christ, you aren't living a Christian life. People that says, I'm a Christian, and goes to every talk and time, and everything. Did you hear it the other day? And they said it happened here in Clayton somewhere. They got this Saints Club or something, Center and Saints Club. That's out somewhere outside of Clayton. Can you believe that? Why would people name a club after our Christian faith? Somebody's been looking after the so-called saints and looking at them. Let him bring that on my subject for a while. Let me chew on it a while. Let me get him into presence. Let me preach to him a little bit. I'll let him know that it's none of his business about the sainthood till he gets right, and then I can pray for him and love him and encourage him. But whoever has got any such mess as this going on today and calling it saints and sinners, friend, it ain't saints and sinners. They're already derogatory to the work of God, and they've already lost their hope. They probably turned into an atheist or some other thing. They are absent from the body and present with the devil. We know where they're at, don't we? The beauty of the Lord has to be ours today. Listen, if we live and if we do the will of God, I want you to know tonight, if this word is so true tonight, and I believe it is, and for 40 years you might say I've tried to preach the Word of God just like it meant for it to be explained. And I believe it meant for me to explain it just like it says in the book. But if we walk in the light in Christ Jesus as He is in the light, we've got to walk like Him. We have fellowship one with another. No denomination. If you remember some years ago, and some of you will remember this, there was a guy that came out of Raleigh. He'd come every Sunday night a lot and worship with us. Gaylight, some of you, Bunk might remember. He was a young guy, played a guitar a little bit. He was a Catholic in Raleigh, right in the edge of Raleigh, Garner. And he would come here. I don't know who he was connected to or nothing about it, but he would come here to church with us, and he would worship the Lord with us. He said they got on him in Raleigh because the Spirit of God moved in his heart. In his own church, they were trying to push. You ain't got no church without the Spirit of God. There's no hope without the Spirit. Jesus said that. My spirit will not always strive with man. I guess that's pretty true in some situations. I went right over to St. Mary's Grove sometime later and pastored over there. The little girl is in the church now, just as smart as a briar. She was devastated. She was a dour Catholic. I've got nothing with a saved Catholic. There's no problem with a saved Catholic. There's nothing wrong with anybody that's saved. It don't matter who he is. But I'll tell you, this little girl, she went every morning, every Sunday morning, and whatever. She was so set, she'd run to Dunn to their mass. She was back home at 10:30 or 11 to go to the church that I preached at, right out here at McGee's Crossroads, St. Mary's Grove, near McGee's Crossroads. And when she would come back, she'd rush into that church and sit down with her husband, and her children weren't there. But anyway, I was their pastor while they were being born. And when she would go and sit down in that seat, and she'd relax, and the Lord would speak through her, and I'd preach the Bible to her. I didn't just preach against anything. I just said, the Word of God says this. You can't preach denomination. You preach salvation. And so I told them, I said, the Word says if you don't take up your cross and come and follow me, then you're in trouble. And so I preached to her for about 5 years, I believe it was. And one day, I left the church. But the seed had been sown. And guess what? When you sow good seed, I don't care when it is, they'll come up sometime. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful, and you won't hide it but so long. And the Word one day, she came, and there'd come another preacher or two through there, but anyway, finally she came through. And she says, I will leave the Catholic. They have lied to us and lied to me. And she studied the Scripture. She went to school every time you turn around. She's a doctor right now in Smithfield. She turned around and she joined the old church over here at St. Mary's. She said, the Lord saved me and I want the world to know it. And it didn't come by the Catholic. It comes by the way of the cross. You have to get your heart right. You have to be made right by God's presence. You can't do good enough to be saved. You can't do, he says, just as I am, we have to come. We have to walk before the Lord just as we are. We don't have a choice today. He came into his own and his own received him not. Listen to this, but, and I love this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What is wrong today with people trying to make disciples out of people that they don't know much about? The very beauty of holiness comes in that you worship the true and living God, and then if one comes in that's unmarked, or if he's in the situation of coming in and not a Christian, the Lord's Spirit will bring him to repentance, and he'll come to the knowledge of the truth before long and before it's too late. The good seed will come up. We have to fight the fight of faith, lay hold of that eternal righteousness. And notice these words, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And they weren't born, listen to this, I like this part, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. If we only could realize and learn how to separate the flesh and the blood from who's going to heaven, none of that's going to heaven. The only thing in heaven is the blood of the Lamb. We have to separate the flesh. The Bible says the Spirit's fighting against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. In Romans, I believe, the 8th chapter thereabout. But you'll find this. But look, the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but you have to be born again by the will of God. God has to save a man's soul. You know, salvation isn't preached much more. You notice that? The very thing, Brother Jim, that a lot of people, I go to play. I went to about seven probably churches, different churches. I went to different denominations, to Advents. I went to the Pentecost. I went to different places just worshiping with some people I had been knowing all my life when I moved back home about 4 years ago or five. I said, well, boy, they've got some good preachers. I reckon I'm going to go in and see how they worship today. See if I feel a good worship spirit. Well, I go to the first church and you want a preacher there that day. I go to the next church and they didn't preach any. Well, I turn around and go back to this same church again to see if I could find the man I was looking to see if he was in church. And he was out again. So I never found him. I said, some of you go get his money. He ought to pay up sometime. But anyway, the thing about it was he never showed up in church. I went to that church and I never had a preacher of the church to preach it. And it was two or three Sundays right almost in a row. I don't know what's wrong with we preachers that don't enjoy telling the news of the gospel. What's wrong with people that won't preach the Word of God? It don't matter if you're Advent or whatever. If a man goes and sits down in the pew, he's supposed to hear the Word of God. He goes there for that purpose. They go there for that purpose. I went to another church. I heard one message, I think, out of the whole deal of going to several churches. And you know the sad thing about it is, you wonder what's wrong with people today. What is wrong with people today? How come our people today in the shape they're in? The church has not given them much to draw on. Our church was about ready to close over here. And the church had walked, some had fought the fight. They had worked hard, but there was just nobody, no spirit there or something that wasn't going on. And people just wouldn't go. They still don't go much. They won't go to Sunday school. We have about 20 watt for Sunday school. But today, we need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear the Lord's will. These children singing a little bit. Thank the Lord we have that privilege. And the Lord's made an effort for us to go out and launch out a little. And I think it's done some good, and we appreciate that. But the thing about it is, we need to know who we are and who we're walking with. Walk after Christ. Take up your cross and follow me, he says. Deny yourself. We have to get rid of Bill and Owl. We have to get rid. When I was called to preach, and I remember this, Buck, I knew him a long time, but I can tell you, years ago, there used to be a bell right in this vestibule area, didn't there, way back years ago? There was one on a post somewhere. But I remember Joe Ennis was out of Irwin Church and rung the bell the first time I ever came to Powhatan. It was at a union meeting. And wherever it was at, I saw this little one-eyed guy. That's all he had. And I ended up being his pastor really once, and then back the second time for 14 years total. But you know, as you think about it, the Lord has ways to give you the privilege to be trained up in His very, very presence. Are we all what we ought to be tonight? Are we all considered tonight to be the sons of God? Are we the children of God? Are we what we ought to be tonight? I believe tonight when we must walk straight. We must walk forward as the Lord would have us to. I believe tonight one of the greatest needs in the world tonight is that our faith be exercised. You're going to have to walk, listen to me carefully, you're going to have to walk through some troubled waters in your life. You mark that down. You will have to go through some. Jesus said, if you love me, you certainly will go through some tough times. If you love him, he was on the water one day walking, and the disciples were in a boat, and he spoke some words to them there, and he said these words, and straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He was walking on the water. They thought they'd seen a spirit. He was walking on the water. I remember Melvin Moore's story, Linda. You've heard Toodle Benson tell this one, that he knew Melvin Moore. He couldn't swim. Y'all remember that, some of you older people. But said one night they went frogging somewhere in a pond, and the water was about 7 or 8 to 12 foot deep on the edge. And that preacher fell out the front of that boat going to gig a frog on the bank. And he said Melvin Moore walked out of that water. He didn't even go under that deep. He was done on the bank before the spear got to the frog. But he said he knew that was one preacher that could walk on water. Jesus was a good preacher, wasn't he? He walked anywhere he wanted to. Listen, did you know today you can do all things through Christ which strengthen you? Let me tell you something tonight, church. You are not limited in Christ. Don't think you are. The devil wants you to think, well, I just can't do enough. I can't get to the place. Listen to me tonight. If you will worship the Lord, He'll send you, and you may not even know He sent you. Let me give you an example that happened here about the time I left Irwin and moved home some years ago. We left Irwin, and as we left that day, the woman, we went by our home. She'd been in the Smithfield Hospital. And I've told this to the church a time or two. But as she went to the hospital at Smithfield, dying with a stroke, they gave her up to leave this whole world. And I didn't even know, she didn't go to church very well. And so I didn't know she was in the hospital. And all of a sudden, someone said, Mary Alice has been in the hospital a week. She's gone home now. I said, well, let me run down and speak to her before we leave the area. Here's the words, and my wife avouched to it that it's the truth that's ever been told. She says, Preacher Billy, I want to thank you for going to the hospital to see me the other day when I was dying. I said, Ms. Bird, I didn't go to see you. She said, yes, you did. You prayed for me, and you took me by the hand and said I was going to be all right. She said, I know. You were there. I saw you. These words were cleansing to my heart and my life. I said, Lord, I didn't go, but listen to me now. If a spirit can go here or there, and if there could be one in Daniel's lines then and all the other situations, the Lord Jesus could show up. He could, I hate for him to look like me, but she said he went to see her and brought her out of the hospital. And I says, I've prayed for you enough, you ought to have seen something to get you saved. She went home, and the day we ran her home, and she was telling me this story. I said, now it's time for you to get reality. Have you got your heart right with the Lord? If you hadn't, that's why I came by today. I didn't go to your hospital, but I came by today to tell you because I know today where you're at. And she accepted the Lord that day. And I went on my way and saw some of her family about a week ago. She's doing fine. Today, you don't know that you can go overseas or not, do you? But why do you think you pray prayers? Why do you ask God to protect your children? Why do you do things that you know you can't do yourself, but you'll ask God to do? Why do you ask God to do it if you don't think He can do it? That wouldn't be faithful, would it? Janet's husband, Harold, he wouldn't listen to me for years. If he don't listen to me getting this revival, he ain't going to hear me much more because I'm going to pop him a lick. But as you think, I left the church, and Brother Jim, I believe, came about that time. But I think he's gotten church, and I believe he's saved now. He needed to be saved when I was here because he could have helped me a little bit, tell you. But anyway, you've got to trust the Lord. You walk by faith and not by sight. And I don't care where you think your hands go in life. They must go by faith. When you shake Bunk's hand, you shake his hand by faith that he loves you. You don't know that he loves you, but you sure hope he does. You hadn't done nothing against him. But you know people to get mad. The devil will stir up anything. Listen to me tonight. The church today is in the shape it's in because we haven't said Jesus hadn't been lifted up. If I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. And I believe the doors of our church and your church and every church in this, those that are full tonight, you can't go there and worship God in many of them. Think about it. But where two or three are together, I like Jesus. He loved the Free Will Baptist because he said, where two or three gather together, I'll be there. So if he'll be here, that's all I'm worrying about, Brother Bunk. I know if he's here, I'm happy in the Spirit because I know I brought him with me tonight. I love the Lord and you got to love him too. We've got to honor the Lord Jesus. We've got to shout the victory in our own spirit. We cannot figure out classes. We cannot figure out all these other things to make the Lord come and visit the church. The Lord comes where there's clean hands and a pure heart. He'll be honored when people love Him, deny themselves, and get committed to serve the Lord with all gladness and supremacy that the Lord wants in your life. He must own you all. All of you. You're His. He bought you and paid for you, Brother Clayton. He owns you tonight. Why in the world do we think that we can take what God owns and deal with it? We can't even look after ourselves. Jesus is the way, the truth tonight, and everything in the world. From J.E. Barber right on down the line, I remember when him and Miss Barber started coming. That's been a long time. But the Lord's done something for that old boy that she didn't do for him. And I had him on the program one night we did, and they done so good, and Jesse liked it so good, he said, get them back. He wouldn't give me no money, so I didn't get them back yet. But I'm going to get them back before long. Y'all look, these two don't sing every time. They're about every week or two. But we try to have a few different people. If you can sing good and you got a pretty voice and you sing for nothing, just come on out and let the Lord glorify through you. But we'd love to have you. But the thing about it is, we're the servants, listen to me carefully, we're servants of the Most High God. We're not just people paddling through this old world of sin and corruption. We are above the sin because we walk in the light. People don't believe there's a light to walk after. Jesus Christ is the light today. He's the truth today. I believe Him tonight. If He said jump off in the middle of the ocean, I'd jump and expect a whale to be there or a jet plane to get me up. You have to trust the Lord. They said up at Duke, you can't live like this. They said you can't live like that. Most of you know that Dr. Robert Allen said, Miss Now, he's had a real problem, but said, looked like everything's sealed off and he's doing good. I said, Doc, you're not working on this head. It don't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. What little I have belongs to the Lord. I'm nothing today, but everything else belongs to the Lord. And if he can use me to give my life, I've given everything I've had. I've given my family. I've given everything I've had otherwise. But you know, I hadn't been hungry yet. We had to leave home and left a nice little home. I thought it was nice. I spent all I had, $5,000, and built one. A brick home for five. Bill wouldn't build you one that cheap. Let me tell you something, though. You love your home, but when you love the Lord Jesus more than you love yourself, then you're getting pretty close to the Scripture. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. Listen to me tonight. If you ever want to be anything in this old world, why don't you lay your life down and let somebody else go to glory on it? That's what it's about. That's what Jesus said. The light. He gave his life for us. And if he's going to walk in the light and we're going to walk in the light as well, we have to lay our life down. We don't have a choice in this matter of Christian faith today and Christianity. We have to be like Christ as near as possible. Jim Bogle could have had certainly many, many things as well. He hadn't had money either, brother, sister. I'll tell you, you ain't seen the other side of the mountain yet where the riches are. But aren't you glad that faith will gain the victory for you every time? The Lord will supply your needs and he'll always look after you. He'll look after you more than you can look after yourself. We're living in a time, though, that it's the dollar. What if the man gains the whole world and loses soul tonight? That's the only thing that keeps me in the ministry. I know his soul is more important than anything else. I've stood there and I've sit there with them and 38 guns in there, and I've had them to do this, I've had them to do that. And I'm telling you tonight, it's worth the journey to try to say to someone, Jesus Christ loves you in the midst of all the darkness and the devil of eternity. And then all of a sudden, one day, that person repents of his sin. He dies a few days later and goes to heaven, loving everybody. And I know I've had three cases that was as tough as they come. And every one of them, I think, has been saved in the last few months. We buried two of them. There's one of them still living in Irwin, as tough as ever come. If tonight you think it's important for you to live like Christ and walk with him, somebody's in for a real treat. Somebody's in to know that there's going to be a better day for them. Somebody's going to be happy because you chose